Hi guys, I'm Lux.
And I'm Sam.
And we host Killing It, the Crime Cast.
Every week, each of us tells the other about a crazy and interesting true crime case we've come across.
Some highlights include
a countess who bathed in blood,
a machete-wielding homophobe,
Munchausen by proxy leading to matricide,
murderous messages written in lipstick,
and a religious pastor being bludgeoned to death with an electric guitar.
We both love true crime, we love talking about it, and we hope you guys will enjoy listening to it.
So check out Killing It, the Crime Cast on whatever podcast app you damn well please.
Bye-bye.
The body of 34-year-old Nicole Brown Simpson, ex-wife of O.J. Simpson, was found.
Really believe Kurt Cobain is dead.
Millions of people mourned the tragic death of John Lennon today.
Struggles to come to terms with the death of Princess Diana. Waiting for
her. Fuck. God damn it. Definitely. One day I'm gonna get this together. I'm so sorry. I hope you leave this in.
Okay.
Well, thank God we didn't get, like, 3 years into it.
Like, last week when we got 8 minutes of recording. That was great.
Yeah. No, it's all good. The thing is blue. I see it moving. This is not muted. It's not blinking. Okay. We're good. I would just like to tell everybody I'm watching Erin get her hair done.
Yes.
She's living the life of luxury.
It's kind of great. Like, I'm just chilling, staring out into my English garden because it's raining.
It's raining. Again. We're back in the UK again. Adventure.
Yep. Had Chick-fil-A for breakfast.
Yeah. Living the life.
It's been a good day.
It has been a good day. I would agree.
And then Stephanie got here. No.
Oh, rude. But we do have a special guest today. She is also in the beauty industry, and she works with us.
Accepts.
So Thank you. Got looped into doing this.
Yeah, basically, looped. I'm excited.
Okay. All right.
Basically, Brittany is my life. Hi, Brittany.
Hi.
She makes me not look like an ogre half of the time, because the other half of the time I do it all to myself, but she fixes it, so
that's
it's
not
fine.
True.
Except
not true.
For... There was that one time that I went to another stylist, and now I have blue in my hair, and I want to dye. So,
well,
you know.
Lesson learned.
Lesson learned.
You have blue in your hair?
Uh-huh. Not anymore, because she just covered it up. But this whole section was, like, fading blue and green.
Burned blueberry cookies.
There was somebody who I just kind of went for, like, a quick, because I needed my roots done
sure.
badly.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, I think maybe let's put blue in your hair this time. And I'm like, nah, I'm good. And guess what the fuck she did?
Blue in your hair?
Oh, yes.
Well,
yeah.
Look, I get it. I'm someone who is extremely picky about my hair, so much so that I've cried at times when I've left appointments because it's not in recent times.
Right.
This was many, many years ago, but, like, yeah, I've shed a few tears over hair, frustration of it not growing, you know,
right.
not the right color, too green, I've turned my own hair gray, so I had no one to blame but myself. And that was before it was cool to have gray hair, just for the
right.
record.
Now you do.
Yeah, so I get it.
When I was seven, I had lice a whole bunch, because there was this one kid at school who would not... His parents just didn't care, and so he brought lice to school constantly. So I had lice, and I had very long hair when I... and one day my mom got tired of picking through it, and so she called her friend, who was a cosmetologist, and she came over and gave me a fucking Dorothy Hamill bowl cut.
No.
It was...
Okay.
Awful.
I've had one of those. Mom, why did you even think it was cute?
No.
There, it lives in infamy. I have a preschool picture with me in it. Like, I look like...
But is it worse than a mullet?
Beatles.
Like, almost as bad.
My parents gave me a mullet because I'm an 80s girl.
Like a real mullet?
And from the South.
A real mullet. Like,
so not even,
curly
it's not
hair.
Like you were in the hardcore, like, emo scene and you gave yourself a mullet,
no,
like, later
like
in life.
I was, like, five with a mullet.
Oh,
and
no.
It was so curly and my mom would pick out the top. So it was, like, super fluffy.
Yeah.
And then,
yeah.
Like,
yep.
It was bad.
That happens a lot in the South.
I knew it does. I knew a girl in elementary school who had the picked out curly.
That was
poodle hair.
Oh, it's not cute.
It wasn't
you. She has a different first name.
I will show you a picture.
I won't say.
Okay.
It's not
laugh.
Nice. So Brittany is going to be our main person today, but we're all sort of contributing.
Right.
But I think the idea is we're just going to kind of talk about the general premise of this, right?
Yeah, so this is something that I have always been interested in. It's kind of like one of my favorite topics. Oh, hi, welcome to Fame and Misfortune.
Oh, yeah, by the way, hello, welcome.
That's what we do.
It's fine.
This is a podcast. I'm Erin. That's Stephanie.
Yep.
And then Brittany's our special guest.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. She's very special. It's great. So, yes, this is something that I've always really liked and wanted to kind of touch on. It's also something that's kind of infiltrated my life in various ways, I guess.
Sure.
You'll have to expand on that.
Yeah, we'll get into that.
Yeah.
But this, the topic of today, and this is actually the beginning of a saga. We haven't decided if we're going to do it consecutively or spaced out yet, but we'll just have to stay tuned. So how about that?
That's true. We have not exactly figured out the how we want to format this situation,
right.
But I think today's just kind of an overview,
right,
of the whole concept,
uh-huh,
people, etc., right?
Yep. So
okay.
This is, welcome to the inaugural episode of the Forever 27.
Yay!
I felt like there was going to be a lot more fanfare there.
Woo-hoo!
Yay!
I'm so
woo!
Excited!
Party! Party emoji.
Yeah. Okay. So,
welcome.
For those of you who don't know, I am a 78-year-old man in a 25-year-old body.
Older. You're like 95.
Okay, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I literally thought Lord was pronounced Lordy for 2 years.
I just can't get over that.
Lordy. Lordy. I think that's actually funnier, though.
No, but don't you know,
it
like, Madonna's
Lordy.
Daughter is Lourdes.
No.
Leon.
Okay, first of all, I don't listen to Madonna. I have never cared
who
about Madonna.
Who cares about listening to Madonna? You
don't
have
mean,
to listen
the only
to
thing
Madonna.
I know about Madonna is that she had pointy boobs at one point and also wears the Kabbalah.
First of all, I love Madonna. My mom loves Madonna, so I'm an 88 baby, and my mom was only 19 when she gave birth to me, so it was prime pop, 80s pop era, so there's not a Madonna song
tooth.
Almost that I don't know.
Why
huh?
she
I can't
better.
Deal with her gap tooth.
Like,
why?
She's
so rich.
It's a look.
Fix it.
No.
I feel like it got bigger.
Imperfections.
Like, not cute.
No, the dentist tried to tell me I needed braces, and I told him no. You know why? Because imperfections make us individuals.
Okay.
So.
That's great. Are you going to get that tattoo
across
your face?
Lots of people. No. I thought about it, but no, I've decided not
okay.
to. but I disagree. Some people like them.
Okay, that's
I like a little snackle
it's,
tooth. But it's, a tooth.
It's a signature of hers.
It's a bad one. And
no,
ugly.
And who's the Rolling Stone guy? His daughter's got one too.
Mick Jagger?
Yeah, I think it's Mick Jagger's
probably.
Daughter.
I mean, whatever. They're still ugly.
Whatever. That's
like.
Rude. I'm not. I think they're cute on guys with gap teeth. That's weird. But girls, I think it's cute.
So every time I see a
is
gap tooth
is that hypocritical
now,
or sexist or something?
A little bit, probably.
Why?
I think it's like a double-edged sword. Like a, like you can't have one without the other. What's that word I'm thinking of?
Are there a lot of guys that have, like, gap teeth, though, that aren't, like, redneck hillbillies living in, like...
Wow, that's fair.
I mean, I haven't
I don't
come across
think
a lot of those.
That's interesting, though, that it's mostly girls who might have that.
Well, okay, so every time I see a gap tooth now, I think immediately of... You remember that Rimmel campaign?
And guys probably... Yeah, that was with...
Get the London look?
Yeah,
remember that?
That's with his daughter.
But then... Oh, is it?
Yeah.
And then did you see,
Yeah, then they have, like, the horse one that they came out with, like, with the meme.
Yeah, and then the
did
meme...
Did you just tell
the,
earlier that you weren't going to share memes on your podcast
no,
with your husband?
Yeah, well, okay, yeah. But
and
this
now here
different.
We are talking about memes. Sorry, Andrew.
Okay, for the record... First of all, Andrew lives on memes. He eats, drinks, and breathes.
Do you guys
memes.
Have the meme game?
Do you want to look under my coffee table?
Do
we
you
have three.
What do you meme?
Three.
Yes.
I love what do you meme. I got it from my sister and her boyfriend
so
for
good.
Christmas. We played it. It's awesome.
So he, first of all, was Tumblr famous back in the day when that was a thing still. He actually started the Insanity Wolf meme. Like, you know the one where it's like the,
yes.
it's like a wolf screaming?
Yes.
Yeah.
He started that. That was him. He made that.
Good job, Andrew.
Thank you for your contribution to society.
So,
and meme society.
I use it.
But then there was that meme that was the Get the London Look, and it was a someone had a chisel in between her teeth, and it was like, Get the London Look, because the gap tooth thing.
Yeah.
The Rimmel campaign.
I think
that's what I think of instantly.
I think that's rude.
Well, I don't like it's gross. So.
Whatever. Anyway, that's not the point of this podcast, to talk about gap teeth.
Here?
How did we get here?
Yeah.
How the hell did I end up here? Yeah, do you want to record that?
I do. Fuck off. Listen. Sometimes people in the privacy of their own homes like to record songs, okay? You know what? It's fine.
Oh my god. I would do it too. It's okay.
It's fine.
It's fine. I still have my microphone. Maybe I should bust it out.
Do you remember when they did... You probably don't remember. The Moana thing? They were searching for Moana?
Did you submit the yourself?
Voice actress? No. But I recorded about a million. Because you had to record, like,
why
something...
Why didn't you submit it?
And you had to record, like, an I am Moana, like, thing. Like, a whole...
The girl was cute.
Situation.
That they
oh, she's
yeah.
great.
Mm-hmm. She's perfect.
But yeah, I recorded, like, 100. Excuse
Moana
me?
Is so cute.
I haven't. I'm not a movie person.
Brady?
You know this. My husband.
Okay.
I don't watch movies.
But they're so good.
I mean, I believe it. It started a giant thing, so it has to be.
Yeah.
I'll get around to it.
You can do it. I believe in you.
Okay.
Okay.
Anyway.
So, let's take a really super quick break, and then we'll talk about Forever 27. My mistake.
Hey, Christy. What do we talk about on our podcast?
Well, Ashley, we talk about all kinds of weird stuff.
Like aliens.
And ghosts.
And cults.
And cryptids.
And witches.
And murders.
Yeah, even sometimes murders. Basically, we talk about all kinds of weird shit.
Oh, I already said that.
Oh.
So yeah, if you like weird topics, feminist rants, and the occasional F-bomb, you should listen to us.
We post new episodes every other Monday.
Find us online at thatsweird.org.
And subscribe to That's Weird on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, and we're back. That was a wonderful commercial.
Yeah.
That we had.
Yeah.
So... did we say, like, 10 minutes ago we were talking about the 27 Club?
Yes.
All right. So, who wants to take it away? Is it you? Is it Brittany who wants to talk about what it is? And for those who don't know.
You want to take it, Brittany? You want to give it a...
I'll try.
Give the old college try?
So,
yeah.
The 27 Club is comprised of probably about 100 different people, as I've learned.
Yeah, it's really big.
It's really big. And it's usually focused around... musicians, mm-hmm. but there are other ones in there, actors,
right.
and things like that, that have just passed away at 27.
Yep, all of them.
All
the
of them.
27.
And it just became a phenomenon, like an actual thing, because back in, what was it, the 60s, between Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin, what was his name, Brian?
Yep, Brian Robert, no, Brian Jones.
One of those. It all happened within, like, 3 years of each other.
Okay.
So it became a thing.
Yeah.
That they all just, and they were at like the peak in their careers. They
yeah,
were
they were
doing
all
amazing.
I think another thing is that they had reached like insane levels of fame, like fame that had
yes.
not been reached
oh,
up
really?
To that point.
Okay.
Right. So it's kind of looked at as like a curse.
Right. And I, when I was doing the research on the curse, did y'all, I mean,
oh yes.
Also? Okay. So you know about, he was a blues singer.
Yeah.
And he wasn't that great, but he wanted to be famous. And then mm-hmm. one day he showed up, and he had these amazing guitar skills.
Yep.
And they said, like, the myth goes that he met the devil on a crossroads
mm-hmm.
somewhere down south, developed all these crazy skills, but sold his soul, and that he'd die at 27.
Is this, like, the song The Devil Went Down to Georgia? But
sort
like,
of.
Reality.
Kinda. So it's, like, this is actually my favorite
thing,
my favorite theory. It's
okay.
I fucking love it. And so I'll just dive right into that because I did a whole bunch of research on this guy.
All right.
His name's Robert Johnson. He was born in 1911, I want to say.
Okay.
And he died, obviously, at 27. He was from a very poor town in, like, Mississippi. And basically, he really wanted to be a blues singer. Like, he would go to clubs and places and hear people playing and be like, shit, I want to do that.
Right.
So he got a guitar and tried really, really hard and did everything he could, to try and, like, learn and be better. And
right.
he just kind of sucked. He was really not good.
That's kind of a bummer.
Right. So he's like, shit, what am I going to do? So this one night, he says that he hears a voice telling him to go down to... the crossroads.
All right.
In, I forgot the name of the town, but somewhere in Mississippi.
Okay.
And so he goes down to the crossroads, and when he gets there, he meets this, like, hulking black dude that says he's the devil in disguise.
All right.
And he's, like, when I say hulking, he's, like, 7 foot tall, like, 350,
yeah, people
like,
giant.
Real big.
Because there were witnesses, right?
Right. Yeah, of course, yeah.
Sure.
So, he goes down and meets the devil in disguise, is what he says.
All right.
The devil says, I can give you what you want, which is talent and fame, and all the money that you could ever use, but in exchange, I want your soul.
Okay.
Okay?
Which, why wouldn't he?
Right, obviously. I mean, sure, let's do it.
Sure.
So, he's like, okay, I'm in. And he hands over his guitar to this big hulking black dude. Big hulking black dude tunes it and gives it back to him.
Okay.
The next day, he has incredible talent and can instantly play any song and, like, is just killing it. He's so good at what he does.
Interesting.
And so he basically becomes like an overnight success, and is very, very famous and prominent in that area. He records lots of things in like Dallas, which was the big recording area at the time.
Right.
And then he goes up to, I want to say, Tennessee, to like Nashville and stuff, and does a lot of recording there. And it just becomes this whole thing.
Okay.
Then age 27, he's traveling on the road, and he stops at a roadhouse somewhere in Mississippi.
Okay.
And starts to hit on this woman.
Who's married.
Who's married.
All right.
He has no idea that she's married to the bar owner, or the bar owner. So she's the owner's wife.
Okay.
So owner sees this and is like, not today, bitch.
Okay.
And gives him an open bottle of whiskey. Robert drinks from the open bottle, and in, within 3 days, dies of a mix of pneumonia and strychnine. So it's said that the owner poisoned him, laced the bottle with strychnine.
Okay.
Yeah, and killed him at the ripe old age of 27. But the thing that I think is really cool about it is that not only did he write a bunch of songs about, like, hellhounds and, like, the devil and, like, Satan and everything, which kind of ties into the legend.
Right.
But he's portrayed in the media so often. Like, for instance, O Brother, Where Art Thou? There's a musician in that.
Yes.
That's supposed to play tribute to Robert.
Okay.
In Supernatural, and, like, I want to say it's season 8, they do this whole episode where people are selling their souls to the devil, and basically the devil gives them 10 years. And so at year 10, they die. Which kind of falls into the 27 or whatever.
Interesting.
Yeah, so it's a whole thing. That's like the Satan thing. And so the rest of it goes that these musicians were all overnight successes.
Right.
And so they all sold their souls and were kind of, they had to pay up at age 27.
Interesting.
But there's other theories.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. A lot of other theories. One of the interesting ones that I read, it takes like an astrological kind of view from it.
Yeah.
That it's actually due to Saturn,
mm-hmm.
who Saturn in astrology kind of controls like your work-life balance and kind of governs that kind of area. So they're saying that when Saturn makes its rounds again from your birthday
mm-hmm.
to its next thing, it's 29 and a half years. Mm-hmm. And it starts, like astrologers believe, or astrology people.
Yep.
I don't know what they were.
Astrologists.
Yeah. They start to believe that at 27 is
Same
when
thing.
It starts to take the effect on your life.
Okay.
And that it's Saturn's ruling that just drives these people basically crazy.
Okay.
As it passes over. Because it starts at 27 and then ends by 20. So I thought that one was really interesting to kind of throw an astrology kind of standpoint to it.
For those of you who don't know, which I want to say pretty much no one knows, my grandmother was a witch, or practiced whatever. So she played very big into the whole astrology scene, and like she read tarot cards, and it was a whole thing in her family. So like star charts were very important to her, and like astrological signs. So that makes a lot of sense to me. She would tell me all the time that, you know, the moon is either good luck or bad luck. Same thing with Friday the 13th, it alternates. Full moon is either good or it can be bad, depending on...
Right, depending on...
the cycle.
Right. The planet's alignment.
Exactly.
Everything.
So, and it's very weird. I mean, whether it's real or not, it's very weird to see how it coincides.
Sure.
For instance, like, I'm a Leo, and I could not be more true Leo. Like, I am...
Yeah, I'm a Virgo down to my bones.
Welcome to Gemini season, bitches.
Sorry.
I'm married to a Gemini, so I've been here.
Yeah.
My mother's a Virgo, and Geminis and Virgos are not supposed to go
along. No, we're not.
Oof.
And we, you know.
I know, I feel bad for her. Sorry, Mom. I'm surprised you guys make it, because, you know, and my boyfriend's a Cancer, and we're also not supposed to. But again, when you break down, like, horoscopes and astrology and all
some
that.
Some of it applies and some doesn't. It's not an exact science.
I
would
say,
it actually does. It also has to do with what moon is rising when you're born.
Right.
And I know there's a whole podcast called What's Your Sign? I follow them on my Instagram. I'm way behind in all my episodes, so I'm sorry I haven't listened yet. But I've, gone and, liked a bunch of podcasts and added them to my list.
Yes.
And I'm like, crap, I'm so behind. But I'm going to the gym after this, so I'm going to listen to podcasts at the gym.
Yes.
But I'm sure they break it down a lot more, but they have some really funny memes, not to be back on the memes, about, like, the different signs
right.
and the good and the bad and the ugly. And some of it's hard to take in when you read it and you're like, oh, I really hope I don't have that quality about myself.
Right.
But then you're like,
well, see,
but
that's
I know
the thing,
that I do
like,
have that quality about right. myself as much as I don't want to have that quality.
So the thing about Leos is they're always, they're, the descriptor for Leos is like pride.
Right.
Like we're prideful
sure.
or whatever. Which I would say is absolutely true, but at the same time, I wouldn't say that I'm necessarily, like, a proud person. Yes, I'm a strong leader.
Yes.
I wouldn't say I'm a proud person. Like, I don't think I'm hot shit or anything.
No, you tend to shy away from the attention.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like, I'm stubborn as shit.
Right.
And I will not lose face, like, no
right.
matter what the situation.
That's
so,
true.
You know.
Well, and again, like, I think that, you know, everything is subject to individuals' personalities, and I don't think that all of it's accurate. I think it's interesting to read because I think there's some truth to it, and again,
sure.
depending on your moon and your planet and your alignment
mm-hmm.
of when you were born, there actually, in an old salon I worked, they had a huge book that broke everything down by day,
mm-hmm.
so year and date. It wasn't just,
yep.
like, if you're born, you know, my birthday is June 13th, so June 13th, 1988, this is, like, you. And it would be 88 and, like, maybe a couple of others because of where all the moon and the planets aligned.
Right.
And when they met up. So it was interesting to really see that broken down differently. And it could not have been more accurate. Like, I remember
exactly.
reading it and being like, oh, yeah, like, that's me. So there's
yeah.
different Geminis, there's different Cancers, Virgos, Leos, you know, depending on where you fall in the cycles of everything. But I love astrology.
Yeah,
I love
so,
reading
I mean,
about
I totally,
it.
Like, I could definitely see that happening, being, like, a phase in people's
sure.
lives
mm-hmm.
that kind of takes more of a toll than another.
Right, yeah.
I get that. So another theory is the white lighter.
Okay.
Yes.
I did see an article when looking up, and I mean, like, of course I've been familiar with the 27 Club just as...
Like, as a whole.
Yeah, as a whole of, you know, lots of musicians who have passed at the age of 27,
mm-hmm.
a lot of standout musicians. I have not done much research into the conspiracy theories until we were doing this episode, but that is one that came up. The white lighter. So explain a little bit more, because I did not read the article on it. I just saw it was a thing.
The white lighter theory, everyone's kind of torn on it. This is the one that's kind of played into my life
sure.
throughout time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's said that Jim Morrison, Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin, and Kurt Cobain
mm-hmm.
were all found with white lighters on their in their possession at the time of their death.
Okay.
Kind of sparking the theory that white lighters are bad luck.
Right.
So the theory goes that, some people say it was a Bic lighter. Other people say it was just a regular old-fashioned lighter.
Yeah, so I saw things that mentioned that they were, like, Bic lighters specifically.
Right.
White Bic lighters.
Right.
But I don't think that that matters so much as the creepy part is that they might have all had white
right.
lighters.
Well,
who
the
cares?
Thing about that theory is that the Bic lighters actually didn't start production until 1984.
Oh,
Jim Morrison,
okay. so
Janis Joplin, and Hendrix all died in 69 and 70.
Okay.
So it's not possible that they were all Bic lighters.
Sure. Right. That would be an error then.
Another thing is that Kurt Cobain had two lighters in his possession at the time of his death, which you can actually find pictures of online,
mm-hmm.
but neither of them are white.
Okay, so that's not a thing.
So that's not a thing, supposedly.
Okay.
However, I'm somewhat superstitious. As Michael says in The Office,
mm-hmm.
I'm not superstitious, but I am a little stiss.
Okay. See,
that's a great
I've heard
line.
That my whole life. Like, don't use the white lighters.
Exactly.
Don't use the white lighters. And I am famous for having white lighters.
Really?
Why? I pick them out. I like neutral colors.
No.
I like
I usually
bright and light.
If I picked up lighters, usually black.
So anyone...
Or pink.
Because no one wants a white lighter, too, I learned. So
exactly.
No
you always find
lighter.
It. Yeah. So,
is that a thing? Are people afraid of white lighters?
I
feel like I've owned
one. White lighters.
So, I learned about that when I was probably like 12, 13.
Exactly. And if
I
ever
so
saw one, if my mom
myself.
Had one, or if any of my friends had one,
yeah.
I would literally throw it away.
That's weird. I never cared that much about
see,
a lighter.
On the alternate end of that, yellow lighters are supposed to be good luck.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know why. Not
yeah,
sure the theory is behind that.
Weird. Ew. Yellow is an ugly color.
I couldn't handle yellow.
Well, sometimes. Not always.
Most times. But so yes, I would throw away white lighters. And I actually had a friend who would buy exclusively white lighters because he just kind of was a thrill seeker and like welcomed anything kind of taboo.
Yeah, I just don't see myself as a, so I never bought into it.
Right.
But I don't know. I like the clean look to them. I like that.
Sure,
it's just,
and that's fine. But like, if it's just a plain white lighter, like if it's white and has decorations on it, you're fine.
Nope.
But if it's plain white, it's like bad times.
And I've only had good times with my lighters. So.
So yes, I'm very anti-white lighter.
Interesting.
Whether it's true or not, I just don't like them. It's just another thing, and it's kind of, it really has kind of, like, if I'm at a gas station trying to buy a lighter, I'm not gonna get the white one. I refuse. It's a whole thing. So, yep. Then there's another theory. Also, I'm pretty sure you can hear.
Sorry. If you hear me typing, I'm doing business stuff. Sorry, guys.
I kind of looked at conspiracy theories this morning about it, just to see, like, what I could find. There was one that was, like, the Illuminati.
Oh, that one.
Back when there was the Illuminati, and that it was just a way to, like, kind of communicate.
But that's still, like, a thing. Have you ever looked into, like, Beyonce and Justin Bieber being,
yes,
like, shapeshifters? Oh, my God. I can't. So there's a line, people.
I fell into a giant YouTube pit last night about Illuminati conspiracy theories. Which is why I have such a big smile on my face right now, because I fucking love them. They're so good.
I mean, like, I don't mind entertaining some, like watching videos or reading about stuff, but I'm just like, this is just too far, people.
I love it.
Like,
the lizard people theory is probably my favorite, honestly.
What? That's the one, they're shapeshifters. They're
like,
they train into lizards.
Prominent people in society, and pretty much every president ever
is a lizard.
A lizard human. Well, they're lizard beings.
Like,
or lizard human hybrids.
Who starts this?
Who's, I know.
It's
I'm
me.
Like, that's
You're
what
welcome.
I'm wondering is like, who's coming up with this?
Man over here.
It's me.
Because like, first of all, why? And
why
if
not?
You have any more info on where this has any base and why,
it's so great.
Email
it
to
please.
Us because I would love.
If you're a lizard person conspiracy theorist or any conspiracy theorist, please be a guest on our podcast.
Thank God cults aren't really a thing anymore.
Cults totally are a thing.
Yeah, but not like they were.
Well, that's
yeah.
another part of the 27 Club, is that it kind of became cult-like.
Yeah.
And like, they say that, like, Amy Winehouse, Kurt Cobain, they were, like, obsessed with the
mm-hmm.
27
mm-hmm.
Club thing. And they committed suicide.
Mm-hmm.
So
they
can
so
they
be
can
a part
of
it. Which is another thing that, actually, I had...
Except that no one believes that Kurt Cobain actually committed suicide, so that's a wrong theory.
Yeah.
Well, he tried a couple, what
he
was
did.
It, before, yes. right before when they were in France, I think it was
yep.
France, and Courtney found him and stopped it, or called the police. So he had tried
well,
before.
Okay, well, we'll
that's
get Rachel
be a new
on that
podcast.
One.
Sorry.
She knows everything there is to know about Kurt Cobain. He is kind of the best. So we'll have her for that, but...
Oh.
No, but that's fine. I mean, like...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What I mean is, like...
The thing is, though, it can't be both ways. It can't be that he...
He wanted to be it, so he...
Right. ...committed
but
suicide.
What about,
if you want so badly, Courtney, to have actually murdered him. So
exactly.
I guess this is where the division in the fans
right.
align.
Exactly.
And I'm a hardcore believer that Courtney did it.
Oh, definitely.
Oh, God, yes.
But I'm willing to entertain that...
That
I mean, what if
himself,
he
right?
asked? Like, what if he was just so down out? Like,
see, that's another thing is that, like, and this is kind of dark, but at one point I was, like, over it, and I'm like, you know what? If I'm not dead by 27, I'm doing it. I'm going to kill myself. Because
oh,
this
my
is
God.
What I was in Drug City, and it was, like, a whole part of my life.
Aaron,
which,
you haven't even reached 27 yet,
know.
First of all.
So,
and I swear to God, if you make me do this podcast by myself, it's never going to get done. So,
that's fair.
You can't. I won't know how to work anything.
Well, I'm not in that place anymore, thankfully, and I don't plan on that.
Thank God for your therapist.
Right? She's great.
I don't know what her name is, but she sounds lovely.
She's so good. Her name's Heather. I love her
Hi,
so
Heather,
much.
Hi, Heather. You're wonderful.
I told her about this podcast. I don't know that she listens, but whatever, because she's cool.
It's okay. Wasn't Georgia said that they invited their therapist to their live show in
yes.
LA, and... The therapist was like, I think we should keep this professional. And
amazing.
I was like, I'm like, okay, that's funny. But, like, you know, I told you yesterday that,
right.
you know, my, you know, very important person in my work life
right.
had even, like, asked me about it. And I was like, I've literally only posted about it, like, twice.
Right. Yes.
But the fact that she even remembered that
right.
so it was a thing was very nice and important to me that she knows that I have some... Not that this is right. more important or less important or anything, but, like,
right.
that I had something going on outside of work. And she's like, oh, that's nice. And I think that's going? And I'm like, oh, and I haven't talked to you in, like, a month. Nice.
I think it's just, like, being a part of, A, something so exclusive,
mm-hmm.
and B, being a part of something that's, like, so full of talented, incredible people is like,
and it's deep and dark, which kind of exactly. matches all their
exactly their
you
personalities.
Know, their troubles, and
it's kind of like a whole like, why wouldn't you want to be
like, if it was like the 27 Club was, you know, at that point they stopped doing music and devoted their life to charity, I don't think someone would join it.
Exactly, it's just part
if
of
it is a choice
their personalities.
Thing.
Like all of these people were kind of doomed from the start, you
sure.
know. To be fair.
Yeah, they all had childhood
exactly.
issues. And,
like, for instance, Kurt Cobain was once quoted, it's better to basically go out in a blaze of glory than to fade out.
That was in a suicide note.
Was it?
Yes.
Isn't that a song?
It is a song. It's a lyric from another singer who I think...
Someone wrote a song about...
Who sings that song?
Who? Fall Out Boy.
No.
Well, they do. There's
no.
They Fall Out
no.
Boy wrote a song about the 27 Club.
No, I don't mean that. The original song that he's quoting, it's better to burn
Eric's,
out than to fade away.
Eric's.
Not Eric Clapton. Is
no.
it the Rolling Stones? I'm going to Google it. I'm going to type. Sorry.
Oh, Eric Clapton covered a Robert Johnson song with the 27 Club member.
Burn out and fade away.
If it's Foo Fighters, I went. Or a fucking Fall Out Boy, I get another point.
Did he write Johnny Rotten? No. Neil Young?
Mm-hmm. I always confuse Neil Young
hey,
and Neil
Hey,
Diamond.
My, Into the Black.
Oh, yep.
And it was quoted, and he... So, Neil Young...
As in, like, Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young?
No. If you heard other music of his, I'm sure you... Like, anyway.
Okay.
Being mentioned in Kurt Cobain's suicide note fucked with me. That's what he has to say about it.
Ooh.
So, we know the front man took his own life in 1994, and in the final letter he left to his fans, friends, and family, reprinted the phrase, it's better to burn out than to fade away from Young's track, Hey Hey, My My, Into the Black.
Hmm.
Because his first suicide note, I think that was the only thing he wrote, and was just...
That line?
Just, I think it was just that line.
Which makes me think that it's been planned for a while, which, I mean, when you're... depressed like
I
that.
I mean, he had a lot of issues.
He also had, like, Crohn's disease, I think it was, and he was on,
yeah.
like,
and he struggled,
fame.
I think, a lot with the fame.
Right.
You know, even though it was great money.
Right. He still hated being in the
public
eye.
Yeah, he was ready to call it quits.
Yeah.
He was done and over it.
You can't when you're that big.
Well, not, and think about all the pressure of having other people, you know, your bandmates who are relying on you
mm-hmm.
to continue in order to make them
sure.
money and, like, live their life and sustain them.
Right.
And, like, that's a lot.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, you've got a lot of people relying on you to want to continue to do music, and
but
how do you tell
Courtney
them no?
Was obsessed with his fame and her fame by
oh,
proxy.
Oh, I'm sure
right.
of it, yeah.
Which, it's weird because also one of her bandmates...
I was just going to say, I think it's Kristen Pfaff.
Yeah. It was. She's also a part of the 27 Club, I believe. Right?
Yep.
She committed suicide. She wasn't suicidal. She
it was like
depressed.
2 weeks later.
Yeah, a couple weeks later, but she was also at the point where she was ready to leave the band, and,
mm-hmm.
like, her U-Haul was packed outside and everything, and then she was dead, found inside.
That's crazy.
And Courtney's...
Interesting. Well, he came out with a new biography. This was in 2012, so if anybody wants to read it, it's Waging Heavy Peace, is his Neil Young's autobiography. He admitted that reading the missive had left him scarred, writing, when he died and left that note, it struck a deep chord inside of me, it fucked with me. So, he goes on to say, he also revealed that he tried to get in touch with Cobain before his death in an attempt to help him conquer his problems, adding, I, coincidentally, have been trying to reach him, I wanted to talk to him, tell him only to play when he felt like it.
Right.
You know, so of course he felt a lot of pressure to want to perform and
right.
need to perform to make money and
it's a whole
promote
thing. Absolutely.
And right.
they were still, they were kind of, in a sense, just starting. Like,
yeah,
they,
I mean, they had only just really,
like, within
I mean,
the last 5
local.
Years, I think.
Yeah, and they lived in the most depressive city.
Exactly.
In existence. Oh my
right.
god.
Right, not to mention,
like,
the heroin epidemic there.
Well, yeah. So, anyhow, there's that little bit of interesting tidbit in there, but, that's where they are specifically. Right. But I feel like I've heard that, and I mean, and maybe I just know that song and I'm not.
Could be.
I'm not putting it together, but it's kind of a slow-ish song.
Sure.
But yeah, how scarring would that be? And for the record, this article is from NME.com, so if you want to read about it, you Google it, but that's where it's at. If you have interest in Neil Young.
So I want to say those are the main conspiracy theories regarding Club 27. What do you have for us, Stephanie?
So I have, to play devil's advocate here, I have something that debunks the 27 Club.
Ooh, I read up on this too.
Did you?
I did.
Okay, so I found an article from originally from The Conversation, which I printed out, that it's really a myth, and that the actual age that's a real bummer for musicians is the age of 56.
Yes.
And this is written by Diana Theodora Kenny, and she's a professor of psychology and music, University of Sydney. So what do Otis Redding, Graham Parsons, Nick Drake, Jimmy McCulloch, James Ramey, a.k.a. Baby Huey, Brian Osper, and John Guthrie have in common?
And Tammy Wynn.
What about Tim Buckley, Gregory Hebert, Zenon DeFlore, Nick Babeau, Shannon Hoon, Beverly Kenny, and Baby Bloom? And Alan Wolson, Jesse Belvin, Rudy Lewis, Gary Thane, Kristen Pfaff, John Pigpen, Mick Kiernan, Pete DeFratis, Raymond Freaky, Todd Rogers, Helmut Kohlen, and Linda Jones. They're all dead pop musicians. First group died at 26, the second group died at 27, and the third group died at age 27. So, mind you, there's a lot more unknown people, obviously, like, that are in this club, and then there's some before. This article has graphs, it has everything.
Oh,
like, it is a whole mathematical problem here to explain why it's not.
Okay.
At least the biggest thing, anyway.
Oh, I forgot about the numerology theory.
Yes, so...
Did you guys hear about the numerology theory?
No.
So, it's another theory that, like, oh, and there's a religious one, too. Shit. Sorry.
It's
so,
okay.
Real quick. Religion is that there are 27 books in the New Testament of the Bible. There's, like, the number 27 is very prominent throughout the Bible. I want to say 27 is the number of... relatives between Jesus and like David or something.
Interesting.
Something crazy like that.
I don't know. Think about that.
It's just like a whole thing, and it promotes itself all the time. So
interesting.
That's the religion side. And then there's the whole numerology theory, which is that 27 reduces to 9.
Okay.
Which is like a prime number, which is...
There's the whole thing.
Exactly. And
my mom's
just
all
like
about numbers. I'm not a numbers person.
I don't believe in numbers. They don't exist. It's not...
So this article is from 2014, so almost 4 years ago, it's November, but this talks about a population of dead musicians spanning 7 decades, so this is 1950 to 2010, for which an accurate age of death could be identified. So the number of deaths is 11,054.
Of all musicians?
Yes. That's a lot. From 1950 to 2010, that's huge. So... 1.2%, that's 128, died at 26. 1.4, that's 153, died at 28. And 1.3, 144, died at 27. So again, not even anywhere near hitting, like, the amount. But age 56 had the highest frequency of deaths. That's 2.2%, equaling 239 deaths. The notables that died are Eddie Rabbit, Tammy Wynette, who's a local girl, by the way. If you want to see her house with George Jones, Google George Jones home for sale. Yeah, it's still for sale. It's beautiful. It's been preserved. I think only, like, one other person's lived in it. It's beautiful, so if you want to look at it, you can find it online. Horse stables and everything.
You could do it, like, that's Saturn coming around again at 60, just about, if you...
Well... There could be a connection. I'm not saying there's not, like,
Illuminati theme.
No kidding.
Let's just connect
all
theories.
And we're all in the Bermuda Triangle by black holes disappearing. It's not to say that there's not maybe some sort of connection between that period and the later, you know, like there may be something there.
Sure.
People out there, research it, find it. Conspiracy theorists.
Figure it out.
You'll love it. Mimi Farina, Johnny Ramone, Chris LeDoux. Love Chris LeDoux. If you don't know who that is, wonderful. He was a rodeo star turned musician, country singer.
Oh.
It's great stuff. Marshall and I love him. And Vandy, Smokey Hampton, and Charles, Baby Tate. And then you guys can't see this visual at home because this is a podcast, but it basically, there's a spike. H56 had the highest frequency of deaths for musicians, so it shows on a graph.
And it's like clearly
taller. Yeah, very much so. So why isn't there a 56 club or a 28 club? Is it because Brian Jones, who died from drowning, Jimi Hendrix, aspirated vomitus from barbiturate overdose, Janis Joplin, heroin overdose, Jim Morrison, drug-induced heart attack, Kurt Cobain, suicide by gunshot, debatable, could be murder, not sure on that.
Probably.
And Amy Winehouse, alcohol poisoning, all died at age 27. So those names, as we know, Brian Jones being the first to kind of begin it,
right,
are probably the most notable
exactly
in that club. And that's already a huge chunk out of the only...
I think that's another thing, is that it's no one's saying that 27 is the most dangerous age for musicians. I think the whole premise behind it is that these people had reached, like, unheard of levels of fame. Like, they were crazy prominent.
Well, and that's... And I agree that... So, this article agrees that they were all tortured souls who reached pop stardom and died tragically at their zenith. So perhaps we need to consider a change of name for this group. So it's talking about specifically these six people from the 27 Club to the Tragic Six or the Tragic Seven, if we mm-hmm. include Robert Johnson. So it's saying that, you know, yeah, there was 137 people before these six who died of their age, but maybe we just focus on, like, these six. Versus it being a age thing, maybe it's just, like, the
right,
tragic
with that
six.
Level of fame.
Yeah, with that level of fame. Because there's plenty of other musicians who I'm sure died at 27 that nobody cares about.
Sure.
Yeah, or probably knows personally and they care, but nobody...
Right, and then if you expand it to, you know, actors and all that stuff, it's...
Right.
Still kind of...
It's a lot. Right. It is a lot. And it goes into more, it breaks it all down by math. So if you're one of those person who... people who really like realistic, like, and you're into numbers and you want to see the visuals and you want to see...
This is not the place for you.
No, but this article is a good one if you like that.
Is that the article that talks about, like, statistics of car accidents and how many of them died in car accidents and all that? Or is that a different article?
So, it goes into, like, increased risk of death, of course, extends beyond age 27 to early adulthood and middle age. But it does say, the 27 Club is not just about the numbers.
Right.
So I would like to give some comfort to those who might grieve the demise of the 27 Club. While the actual numbers of pop musician deaths don't show a spike in deaths at age 27 and hence do not support the 27 Club, there appear to be qualities shared by the 27ers that stand them apart from many other deceased young pop musicians, which may go some way to understanding how this club entered the pop culture psyche. So I think this is going more towards what we're talking about.
Right.
These qualities include exceptional talent, the contribution of groundbreaking innovations in their musical genre, intense psychological pain, a squalid death at their peak, and immortalization. Each of the Tragic Six has become a cult figure. So, I agree with that. Jimi Hendrix had been described in Rolling Stone as the greatest guitarist of all time, one of the biggest cultural figures of the 60s, a psychedelic voodoo child who spewed clouds of distortion and pot smoke. Janis Joplin was the greatest white blues mama who ever lived, was crowned First Lady and Queen of Rock and Roll. She died only 2 weeks after Hendrix. Although the official cause of death was heroin overdose, Janis fell into a yawning chasm of tortured loneliness.
Mm-hmm.
Then the life was gone, the legend was born. So, I mean, would these people have been as famous as they are now if they lived?
Definitely. Are you kidding?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
I think so.
Huh? You think so?
So.
No, I don't think so.
I do.
I don't.
So, I think the music of their era was because of that era.
Yeah.
And if you try to put Jimi Hendrix
now,
I don't
like,
know.
What would he be playing now?
It. Yeah.
Like,
oh, well, yeah. No, I don't know what they're... I mean, like, so they would have maintained the same level of fame for a while, but obviously it would have gone downhill. Yeah, just like Kurt Cobain said, they're famous, fizzling out.
They're still as famous and interesting today because they're preserved in time.
Right.
Like, they didn't make it to the 80s where they could have ruined it with some really weird bad shit. Yeah, like
synth-pop,
Frankie Saves Relax stuff, you know, like they stopped at their highest point and
so there is no downhill.
There is no downhill.
Which I get.
They get to be famous for what they were forever. And everybody loves and respects what they did.
Which is kind of cool.
Which is kind of cool. Which I think is the illusion. Yeah. Yes, and the appeal of this Tortured Six, the Tragic Six, the 27 Club, these people of the 27 Club. Nobody else really cares about everybody else.
Right.
And then just a year later, the wild, handsome, charismatic Jim Morrison exited the pop music scene in similar fashion. So, you know, it's because of the proximity of these three deaths that the idea of the 27 Club was born. Because everybody just couldn't believe, like, Jimmy, Janice, Jim. I mean, first of all, they're all J's, so that's creepy.
Yeah, I know, I thought that too. All within, like, 2 years.
Yeah.
Literally within 2 years.
Two, you know, only weeks apart. And then, you know, a year later, the next one. You know, Brian Jones was in 1969, Robert Johnson, King of the Delta Blues, 1938. So he was even, like, the first.
Yeah.
And then Kurt Cobain, 94, Amy Winehouse, 2011. And I think
there's been, you know, other ones.
Well, another thing that I heard, and something that's very true, is that all of them had their own battles with addiction.
Yes.
Everyone. Including Robert Johnson.
Oh, yeah.
With the alcoholism and everything. And it said, you know, that Jim Morrison literally drank himself to death.
Well, yeah, he threw up and then choked on it.
No, that was Jimi Hendrix.
Oh, sorry, Jim Morrison, yeah. But...
Sorry.
It's all getting running together, Jim and Diane.
Jim Morrison, like, wanted to, he literally would drink himself into a stupor and then, like, all day, every day, would just drink whiskey. Like, most people would drink water, right? So, basically, it thinned his heart muscle so much and kind of killed it that he had a heart attack. Anywho. So, another thing is that one of the medical doctors that I was actually reading an article by said that at age 27, your body can't keep up anymore. Like, it just starts slow. So if you've been doing...
Well, yeah, we all know. If anybody's made it, you haven't made it there yet. But if you've made it to 27, that's really when the changes start happening. You know, as a woman, you notice your skin's changing, your metabolism starts slowing, you know, everything.
Stephanie goes there, and I'm like... Yeah, hangovers after 27 sucks.
Yeah. It does.
Like, you really, like...
Your body just does not...
You wake up one day and it's like, oh, this is not good.
No, it takes 300 years to recover just from that hangover. Like, you know...
You party on a Friday, by Monday you're still like...
Definitely notice it drunk. Around 25, but I think 27 is like where it, like, pinnacle starts being like, oh, my metabolism's different, things have changed, and this is official.
Exactly.
Now.
Which is a whole thing, is that, like, your body just can't keep up anymore at that point.
Right.
And so, if you've been doing an 8-ball of cocaine every day...
Every single day.
At age 27...
You're a baller.
Right, like... First of all, you rich AF.
Well, people are probably giving it to them. Let's be honest. Like, they're really not probably paying.
Well, also, in the 70s, that was a thing. You go and, if your star wants heroin, you go buy them heroin.
Well, that or, you know, you invite enough people who, I think we can hear that cup in the recording.
So. Sorry if you hear the tube.
Yeah, let me take that away from you.
But, like, if you've been doing an 8-ball of cocaine every day, and you've been used to it, and you've been able to handle it, at some point, you're not anymore. It just...
Agreed.
Your body breaks down.
Agreed.
You know? So...
But I thought that was an interesting article, and if you're one of those people who loves facts and numbers, it's good. But I like the idea, just, like, talking about, like, astrology and stuff, like, I'm fine with the idea of a 27 club. I think it's kind of sad if people feel like they need to belong in it. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's really sad because...
Well, I came from, like, a really jacked up childhood, right?
Sure.
And so I always idolized Jimi Hendrix, like, just as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm all the time, like, I'm going to go out in a blaze of glory just like Jimmy, which is, you know...
But did he go out in a blaze of glory? The only glory he has is that he never screwed up his music career.
Right.
You know... To be honest, what happened to him, it's tragic and it's sad.
Right.
To think that he died alone.
Mm-hmm. Like, what if he had given it 5 more
choking
years?
Choking on his own puke.
Yeah.
How much bigger could he have gotten? How could he have influenced every...
Right.
There's there's so much more, but yeah. Did he go out in a blaze of glory?
No, not so much.
Well, sad. I think it's glamorous. Lonely.
It's lonely. The only thing was that he already had...
I don't think
had...
there really is a glamorous way to die, though. Like, there's not really a...
Well, no, there's not. But I think he could have contributed more had he stayed around.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's
and it
true.
Could have been... It's
could
just
have
a
done
shame
more for society and people.
And music.
As a whole.
I mean, you know, he's but done a lot it? For music even without being here. But think of all the kids he could have actually taught, like instructed
sure.
to play guitar, and like the new bands that could have
yeah.
come out, and maybe we wouldn't have
it's
the
true.
Crappy music that we have now. You know, he could have
started
been
a label and saved us all.
Yeah,
the
it
Justin
could have been
Bieber
a bigger
era.
Influence. All of them could
yeah.
have been so much bigger.
But the drugs back then, they were more potent. They were more.
That's true.
Well,
they were
for the new ones, for like heroin and cocaine. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It was all very
was
organic.
Like
would you like to use the word organic cocaine? An
no
organic
GMOs
heroin,
the...
no GMOs.
I want to say that's not a thing.
I think it is a thing. No chemicals, free range heroin.
Free range heroin. Cage
yeah,
free.
Like,
cage
have
free.
The education. Like, I think, like, we have, you know, on the drugs like that.
Farm to needle. Jesus.
Farm to needle. Stop it. That's in poor taste. Like, that meme you sent me the other day. That was
Ooh.
Disgusting.
That was so funny.
That was not
funny. I love it. I'm posting it on our Twitter.
No, please don't. I don't want to be associated
I'm
with
doing
that.
It. So it was
no,
the...
No, that's bad.
Queen.
That's not nice to say.
Well, it's... This is a celebrity.
I don't care about
Miss
her.
Fortune
I care
podcast.
About
I know
the,
you do. I'm just saying it
because
was
because I believe
funny.
It's probably true and
it
that makes me sad.
It probably is.
Oh, was it
we'll
the
going
car crash?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Meme,
yes.
Where it's like her at the wedding and she's like...
Yeah, and she's well, like, I've already used that
when
one
you're thinking
whatever.
Of planning a car crash, but you already did.
I can't. No, because you know why... Her kids can see stuff like
I
that.
Know.
So you should think about that.
No.
And those kids
be
have to live
people.
Without a mom. Who
well,
cares about what everybody
know.
Else,
I
you know,
gotcha.
What she did and what he did to her, because I'm already bitter about that. But her kids have to live that. And that makes me sad.
I was at the Dollar Tree this morning, and there was a Royal Wedding magazine, and I almost bought it for you.
Thank you.
You're
for only a dollar?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. Why didn't you buy it? I think I have a dollar to spare for.
I'm sitting by register, so.
I mean, I just want one friend who wants to have a party with me for every royal wedding, but now there's no more to celebrate. They're both married, so...
There's chances for divorce. If you're not.
That's true.
That's not true.
She's American.
And?
Well...
I mean,
what
he was caught
rate?
In Vegas, like, naked, so, like, let's be
Kate
honest, he's not exactly...
with her top off.
Who cares? She's allowed to do that, too.
They're just normal people.
They were in
being.
A private villa, first of all, and they sued them for those pictures.
Did
and,
they?
Yeah.
Good.
It was a big deal. Because they breached security protocol because they were on a privately owned property and, you know, people
My
were...
My foot is so asleep right now. And
we're
I want
done.
To die.
Almost
no, you're
anyway.
Cool. I was just sitting on it, so it's my fault.
So are we ending the 20... Is that it?
So that's all the conspiracy theories.
Okay.
But then we're going to go... I think we're going to have 7 more episodes going into each of them. Well, I think... Let's do 6. Right?
Well,
we already covered.
Combine?
Well,
can
we already
combine?
Covered Robert Johnson. So
did we?
Literally at the beginning. Right.
Oh yeah.
Soul.
Devil went down
thing.
To Georgia. Guitar.
Yes, that's such a
thing. 1938. That's an interesting year to believe in crap like.
Right. Well, 1938 is when he died.
Well, yeah, but like to, but
it was
that.
Only a couple years later, right? So it was still. I think down in the South, that's always been a big thing, though.
It has, yeah.
That's
so,
true.
So, oh, that was another thing, is that it kind of originated from, I want to say it was an old slave tale, that if you make a deal with the devil, you lose your soul but get freedom or whatever you want.
Fair.
And that's kind of where it stemmed from.
Mm, the white man's a devil. I get it.
Well.
I get the reference.
Yeah. So, okay, well, I guess let's take a pause.
Okay.
And then we'll do some hair stuff.
Yay!
From spies to myths
and legends to world leaders,
the Bitchery of History is exploring the women who made history only to be forgotten by it.
We come out every week, Monday morning at 4 a.m. Pacific time, so get up early and get bitchin'.
Google Play, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and Podomatic. Download every Monday and remember,
bitches
get stuff
done.
Back. Hello, everybody.
Hi.
It's a wonderful ad.
Yeah,
So I guess are we going into our tip? We're about to be about
yeah. So most weeks we do a makeup or, like, a beauty tip or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But this week, since we have a special guest.
Yay!
And neither of us have anything prepared.
No, you know, whatever.
We're going to make Brittany do it.
Do we ever have anything actually prepared?
Let's be real. Definitely not.
No.
Okay, so Brittany is our resident stylist. And she's the best, and I love her so much. So, could you please give us some hair tips, maybe?
Yeah, so first hair tip, always rinse in cold water.
Okay, this is where Stephanie has a breakdown.
I mean, it's just so cold. It's fine, I get the point, like, I know, but, like, I utilize my bath and shower time to, like, relax. And not to be, like, stunned into, like, shock. I don't mind it when I hate it, but I don't mind it when I'm getting my hair done.
Right.
Because I always get a cold rinse. There's no way to avoid it. In fact, nobody even asks anymore. They just rinse it all in cold.
Brittany does. She's super careful about her temperature when she rinses you.
I try to ask.
But I just don't love ending my showers like that.
It's awful. And sometimes, like, have you thought about just
because when I get out, like, turn the hot wrap water in a towel, on again?
Right.
Spray bottle. Throw some ice cubes in it. Spray your hair down. Wrap it in a towel. Be done with
it. Ooh, that's smart. Shock it closed. Shock that beautiful closed.
So I just can't wrap ice cubes all over.
So like
your
ice cube face trick, but yeah,
with your hair. So that one, yeah, it sucks.
Okay,
but it's,
so rinse
it's the best for your hair.
Rinse in cold water.
Turn your straightening iron down. You should not be using it over 360.
I wonder why they even make it.
I mean,
for professionals.
Or
people who
have.
Well,
I guess if you're getting a girl.
No. I use
not even close to you.
I use 350 on you, and your hair does perfect.
No, but you're right.
It doesn't
curlier, coarser
stay.
Hair.
Curly, coarse hair.
Why
does it
stay?
It.
What am I doing wrong?
Your product.
I don't use product.
Exactly.
I'm sorry, what?
What product should I be using?
You should be using a heat spray to begin with.
Okay.
Wait, you don't even put a heat protector on your hair?
I don't have one.
What have you been letting her do?
I didn't know this. How often do I style my hair?
Even if you air dry, hello, listeners, you should put a heat protector on it because if you do anything with heat to your hair after you dry it, no matter what you dry it with, air or blow dryer, it should always have a heat protector.
Why? Yes. What's the point if you're air drying? Exactly.
Okay, so when you air dry, I've seen your hair air dry.
Right. Lord,
you always go back through it later on.
What do you
right?
Do, okay, right. What's your steps when you do your hair? What do you do?
I wash it and then I go to sleep.
Okay.
So
and then
you
the next
wake up,
day and you do what?
Put it in a bun.
No.
What about the days when you straighten
it? It looks like a mess. Oh, I don't straighten it.
Okay, curl it. Wand it.
I just wake up and curl it.
So, see? If you put it in there when it was wet, soaked in.
And there's
multitaskers, too. It's not like you just have to have a heat protector. You can get something that'll help frizz, calm your cuticle, do all that kind. But
it's
also
a 10. It's a great, inexpensive product that does 10 things in one.
Do I have frizz? I don't think I have frizz. I think my hair just gets
She complains
fluffy.
About it being poop fluffy. What do you think the fluffy
big.
Is?
When it gets big, that's frizzy. That's your cuticle raising
expanding.
Up.
Expanding.
Getting crazy.
Getting all crazy. It's a party
crazy.
Up here.
Exactly, it's partying.
It's raising the roof
bacon.
Of your house.
Yes.
So you should be using something all the time when there's heat.
No matter
but
what.
But you, unless you have coarse, super curly, if you come in and you tell me, oh, yeah, I crank it up to 450, why are my ends crunchy? I'm like, well, that's why.
Okay.
Do not use it over 350 if you don't have to. It's a lot of wear and tear on your hair. Third one, use professional products, please.
I do that.
Especially if you...
Because you made me.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
If you get your hair done, if you color it, if you...
Quality over quantity, people. It's quality over quantity.
Definitely. I totally agree with that. So I bought these...
Like Morphe palettes.
These caviar...
it's quality over quantity.
Exactly. Yes. I bought these Alterna caviar products for moisture.
Mm-hmm. And they're so, so great. For instance, the I have so much hair.
So great,
like,
that she's giving
them. Too much hair.
She's just letting you borrow them.
You're going to borrow them. I kidding. Want them back.
I'm just kidding.
Can I drag my statements out any longer?
No.
Maybe.
Maybe I can do it. Anywho. Okay. So, I bought these. They're great. I love them. The oil cream, the conditioning one, it's like a hair mask. It takes maybe a quarter size amount. When with any other mask, I would have to use at least, like, three times that to coat my hair because I have so much.
Yep.
So, when you spend more money, like, you're getting a better quality of product.
More concentrated.
Yes.
It just has more benefits. You don't have to use as much. And a lot of people, there's price points for everything. You can go on the lower end. I love Paul Mitchell. I throw it out there all the time. Mm-hmm. They're on the lower end of pro products.
Sure.
There's a lot of sales, like, at our store, where mm-hmm. it's buy two, get a free product.
Sure.
You can get three products for $24.
Exactly.
That's $8 a product. That is not
totally
bad.
Yeah, totally worth it. It's what you're spending on your Aussie at Walmart.
Exactly. But also, don't buy professional products unless you go somewhere that has a hair salon, because
yes.
one, that's illegal. They're not supposed to have professional items not sold in salons.
Yes.
Or
don't buy it at
with salons.
TJ Maxx. Don't buy it at
nope.
Walmart,
Wait,
Target,
why?
Anything.
Because you don't know what you're
it's
getting.
Diversion.
Because what happens is people go into hair salons. Like, I worked in a salon that had a brand that's in, like, only the top, like, 1% of salons in America, and people come in and they want to buy. We had to cap off how many
yes.
products people could buy because they would come in and they resell it.
Mm-hmm. Or
it
you
goes,
find
and
it,
then they but they dilute it in the meantime,
yes.
so it's not like they're reselling actual product. They're dumping half of it out and putting water or God knows what.
It can be old
in it. It could
expired.
Be
expired.
Mm-hmm.
There was an article that was going around on Facebook showing a can of Chi hairspray that somebody got at TJ Maxx. They peeled it off, and it was some brand from another country. Nothing in it was even on English, but it had just been rebranded as Chi. And people go to TJ Maxx, and they see, oh, this Chi hairspray that I normally spend $20 at my salon is here for $7.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be the same thing.
I
Let
used
me get
to buy
it.
All of my hair products at, like, Marshall's and TJ Maxx.
Mm-hmm.
It's
all
just,
of
it's the chances of it being diluted or expired. Or not even the product. It's too great to risk
it. So here's the thing. Twice a year, there are certain stores that have a sale on shampoo liters.
Yes.
This last year, I bought my shampoo liters at this store that had this sale. And I still have the same ones. I bought them in, what, November?
It was after Christmas.
Okay, so I bought them in January.
So 6 months.
And I still have them.
Mm-hmm.
And I have so much freaking hair. It is unbelievable how much hair I have.
Yeah.
So it'll last you, and it's worth it. Like, my color doesn't wash out anymore. I have purple hair, for those of you who don't know. And my color lasts because I take care of it. I use cold water, and I only wash twice a week if I can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's my third tip.
Okay.
Pro products. Spend the money. Your hair will love you. You'll love your hair.
Yeah. It does. It really does make a difference. I didn't realize how much of a difference it made until I started doing it.
Yes. There's a reason when you leave your salon, your hair looks amazing.
Right.
You can't do it when you get home.
Right.
Yeah.
How the fuck do people blow dry their own hair?
It's hard.
Ugh, I hate it.
I don't do it. Do you see this?
I tried. You saw. I sent you a
no.
picture. And
I
gave up halfway through. My blow dry looks so bad. I'll show
Wait,
it to you.
Wait, that was a blow
it
dry?
Looks so bad. Oh, yeah. That was a full-on, like, sectioning blow dry. It was
yeah, you need help.
So bad.
You can't round brush your hair?
No. I also have, like, a Revlon from Walmart hair dryer, so.
It just takes me a while.
I am afraid of round brushes.
But
I
just trying to
my
coordinate
hair
the...
Can't do it. Nope. It's all bad times.
Mm-hmm.
So,
interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
awesome.
Well, thank you, Brittany. I appreciate
yeah,
you for
thanks,
being
Britt.
Here. Thanks for doing my hair.
Do you like Brittany? Brittany's probably better. You probably don't like Britt. You're too old for
no,
that.
No, actually, I probably am too old for that.
What?
Yeah, a lot of people
That's
call me that.
That's not a thing.
Yes, it is.
What?
Do you think I want to be 50 and still called Steph?
Obviously.
I don't think so. How do you be a professional
Yeah, really,
adult?
It's just my grandma that calls me Britt at this point.
I'm going to start calling
just
you Britannia.
Asking.
Britannia?
Well, thanks, Britannia. I appreciate you.
Oh, you're welcome. Anytime.
See you next Thursday.
See you next Thursday.